This hour of the Overdrive podcast is brought to you by Felix. Embarrassed to talk about erectile dysfunction in person? Felix can connect you to a doctor online to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker. And up on TSN 4, Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan, how are we feeling on a Tuesday?
What's up? I don't know. I mean, where are we at? I text you, and did I text you last night at the wrong time? Because
no, you
did I jam you up
at a very appropriate time? No, very very appropriate time. Just as my boy Taylor Heinicke was closing in on a game-winning drive,
wasn't it a push? I thought it was a push.
No, it wasn't. Seattle was favored. Seattle was minus two last night.
Oh.
Washington won by two.
That was not
a push.
I was scared to ask.
That's what I thought. I'm like, we're good. It's just a push.
No, Seattle is favored.
Fire that guy. Fire that guy.
You know what the problem is? You don't, like, I'm on the outside. I'm just trying to, you know, pick up on all of that. I need the Beansy tweet.
You're right, Noodles.
If you send it out, then I know who won, right? Like, that's the thing.
You're right.
If you put the Beansy tweet out, then I go 4 p.m., I'm locking it in, I'm bringing it up, because I saw, what was it, 17-8 or something, and I'm like, all right, he's in good shape, because I remember that you, Al's brother was doubling down on Russell Wilson, and I'm like, no, that's not happening. So
right, and then they score the touchdown, they go for the two-point conversion. The only reason they had to is because Washington went for the two-point conversion because their kicker blew a hammy chasing a ball down on a missed PAT.
Dude, I hate that guy so much that blew his hammy. I can't even do this, honestly. I thought it was a push. I saw the stupid text, and then I just checked the score this morning, and I'm like, we're good. I don't have to deal with anything. It's a push. And now I'm dealing with this.
Oh,
and apparently
Al's
brother wanted no part of it, and he's just left the studio.
He's gone. Yeah, you'll notice a theme. On Tuesdays, if your pick won on the Monday nighter, Al's brother's hanging around.
High-stepping. Yeah.
And if they lose, Al's brother's back in Niagara Falls by about, you know, 1:45 p.m. He's out of here. He finishes Leafs lunch, and there are sparks coming off his wheels at 1 o'clock. He's out of here, and that's exactly what happened. And you guys had probably the most destructive weekend of the year, and I'm getting concerned about the lack of runway here for you guys to come back and just square this thing off. I mean, that's what you're dormy at this point at best, because you went 1-6, I believe it was, on the weekend, and 0-4 in the big games. 0-3 on Thursday.
You
lost last night.
We know.
Yeah.
Some guy just sent in, it's the most debilitating tweet of all time. He's like, I love re-listening or catching up on the podcast, knowing what you guys are losing, and then we make the pick, and Al's brother's mouthing off about stats and what he knows about it. And he said, that's the enjoyment of my day. I'm like, we're becoming a clown show. Not that we weren't considered that earlier, but let's do a buyout here. Like, Rick DiPietro buyout, and the season's over.
You want the Bobby Bonilla, Rick DiPietro special?
I want a Bobby Bonilla special.
I think
it's the Bonilla, man. Bonilla gets paid $1 million cash every July 1st or July 4th.
Yeah.
And he's been getting it, I think, for 12 or 13 years. And he gets it for another, like, 12 years. It was a 25-year buyout at $1 million a clip.
That is like, I have a buddy who got bought out. I don't know if I should say his name. I could say his name. He wouldn't care. But remember, he got bought out, and he was like, so let me get this straight. You're going to pay me $800,000 a year to not play hockey, to go away.
It's the best thing ever.
Figure out a buyout. Like, we'll just pay a monthly fee, and we don't have to do it anymore. We got to switch it up, Hayes. Like, get somebody. Get Davis Sanchez
Gord,
to do this
Gord,
segment.
Gord Miller.
Gord, come on.
But like, listen, you got to have the conversation. You had the hats made up. Al's brother's our boy. We love Al's brother. He's got the information. People want to hear the information. They want to fade the information.
But Hazy, he doesn't know what he – it's clear now, right?
Yeah, this weekend hurt. Like, this was a bad
weekend.
No,
he doesn't
weekend.
Know what he's doing. And he's dragging me down a hole, and I don't like it. I don't like it. Like, I've had enough. Like, I know
like
J-Mac.
It, and I haven't had
no,
enough.
I know.
That's the problem.
I know. But I J-Mac still... likes him doing the segment, and it's
yeah.
sponsored
you know,
and everything.
J-Mac should
but
do
just
it.
Get someone else. Just get another guy that knows what the hell they're doing. Because he is my guy. For this stuff, and he...
You know what we should do? Is we
open
should have
auditions. Open
have
auditions.
Open auditions. We should have Julia call in. Julia call in. If she starts picking winners, Al's brother will never be able to go back on his own show. Like, Lee's
oh,
Lunch.
Yeah.
You imagine we have Julia Tesheri come on. She catches a heater, starts picking winners, and Al's brother's got to chew on it. Not only on our show at 4 o'clock, but he has to go on at noon. And she's explaining,
every
you know,
day.
Detailing why she decided to... make this pick, that pick, or the other pick, it would just follow him around. Like, whenever he's on the air, it's just like a black cloud, the fact that someone else is picking winners. Listen, it's your team. He's your guy. We've been down this road before, the idea of selling him down the river. It never ends up happening. You still got some runway. You know, what are we into? Week 13, this is a big one. The Monday right. Nighter, we're now 6 nights away from the biggest game of the year, you could argue, certainly in Western New York, Buffalo at home against the Pats. So we'll talk about it throughout the week. We got about 48 hours
come
before
on.
We have
you
to make
say
another
this.
Pick.
You say it every week. Regroup and get Al's brother together and get your stuff together. It's clear, bud. We can't do it.
Well, then you should have a guest. Like, what you should have is a sit-in. Maybe once a week, choose somebody. Oh, and be
find
like,
somebody.
Andy
you
Petrillo's
guys get creative and
Julia
find
Tesheri
someone else in
it.
The building to do it this week for us. Or okay. I don't know. But I got to have a heart-to-heart with the other guy and see where he's at, because I know he's got to be down in the dumps about this. It's getting embarrassing.
I'm concerned about Al's brother.
Up,
yeah,
every
I think.
Your turn.
Yeah, I think Al's brother could be in a very dark place right now. Listen, it was a bad weekend. You guys went 1-6. It happens.
Yeah, thanks, Tiff.
You know, it happens.
1-6? I didn't realize it was that
well,
bad.
Well, there's a 3-pack on Thursday noodles. They went 0-3
oh,
on Thursday,
no.
and then
that's
1-2
right.
on Sunday, and they lost last night. I mean,
see, I wasn't on the show Friday. That's right. So I didn't.
This is a joke.
I didn't even let like,
you. Would
I didn't,
say, you would think you fluke a couple in there.
You'd like, think you'd
I,
you know
come
you'd
on.
Hit 250 or something. But like this is a legit slump in the majors. You know, you leave a game, you go 1-7. You're like Charlie yeah. Montoya's. Like, come on, get in the cage and start hacking. Do something. You know,
wow.
Make some, do we have to lay down a sack bunt to make some contact? Maybe
well,
that's
what
need.
Charlie would do. They say in baseball, sometimes you tell a guy to sit down and have a look. Like you just gotta
I've got an
down.
Idea for you because you're chasing anyway. Why don't we add the total to the games? So we can bet the line and we can bet the total. Then there's a chance to chop. There's a chance for you guys to go 2-0 for each game.
You're talking over-under?
Over-under. So not only the spread, we add the total to it. That gives you a real chance to battle back.
Well,
you know,
I want to up the price then and make it like let us get back in it.
What do you think, Noodles?
I'm going to go off track here for a second. I completely forgot. Kara Wagland, she knows the NFL inside and out.
Yeah, I mean Kara's very informed when it comes to the NFL. No one knows it better. I mean, she works.
Right.
Obviously,
she's
TSN, CTV
NFL
every Sunday.
For TSN,
okay. Well, let's think about it. Maybe she subs in this week, and okay. Al's brother's got to sit on the sidelines.
Well, yeah. I think he can be included. It's just someone's there for support, you know, one way or the other. We'll
you
talk
know what?
About
it might be the situation where she's the Jeff Gordon, but, you know, she comes in.
That's
and
right.
She's looking. You're looking for a manager. You're looking for somebody, but Al's brother's just kind of, you know, hanging the weeds, like maybe taking notes, learning from a seasoned vet. Maybe
I kind of
like
that idea. A Jeff Gordon type, and Al's yeah. brother plays the role of the bilingual GM who knows all the information and can, you know,
deliver it.
Translate it all. Absolutely. Very good when it comes to communication. Speaking of which, you see Patrick Waugh, took him about 12 hours to throw his name into the hat. And I personally, if I'm Jeff Gordon, there's no way I'm bringing in Patrick Waugh. No way.
Yeah,
and it has nothing to do with his expertise. It has everything to do with who he is and what he represents. Like, if you're Jeff Gordon and you're the man, and you're the one that's going to be the architect, you're the one that's going to be responsible for all this, you bring in Patrick Waugh. It's the Patrick Waugh show.
Yeah.
And maybe Gordon, maybe he wants that, but and maybe they can be cohesive. But I personally, if I'm in Jeff Gordon's shoes, I don't want Patrick Waugh included in this. Because
anywhere near it. I agree.
It becomes the Patrick Waugh show. Like, everything would be about Patrick Waugh. And, you know, he deserves that level of respect. He deserves that level of attention if he were to get the job because of who he is and what he represents. You know, he's one of the great Habs of all time and one of the great French-Canadian NHL players of all time. But if I'm Jeff Gorton, no way.
Well, no way. You know, here's the other thing, that track record in Colorado, I didn't like what he – didn't he quit the team like a week before training camp?
He pulled a Brian Kelly and a Lincoln Riley in college football. Like, yeah, hey, like, let's – quick out, text, like, quick meeting, I'm out of here. See you later.
And jammed – I mean, jammed up the organization. Now, they pivoted to Jared Bednar, and I'm by all accounts, Jared Bednar, they love. He's done a great job. Like, you guys – we'll see them play tomorrow. But, you know, ultimately, you know – I don't know if Patrick Waugh didn't like his situation there. It was him and Joe Sakic kind of like going along. I think Patrick wanted a lot of input on roster construction, all of that. Like, I don't know how that dynamic, but it didn't end well. By all accounts. And I don't like that. That leaves a sour taste in my mouth. Like, I understand, like, you have a disagreement, but, like, he took his net and went home. And remember, they crashed and burned. They had like 47 points that year.
They were one of the worst seasons in NHL history.
Yeah,
that year, and statistically.
Yeah,
and maybe he saw that coming. Maybe he did, but I would guess he didn't see the fruits of that labor coming either. Because once they pivoted quickly, you know, all of a sudden it's the MacKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen show. You got McCarr there. You got Byram there. Like, they're a really good team.
And that's
good
the risk
team.
You're going to take when you bring on a Patrick Waugh. I love the idea of it from our point of view, because we would talk about it and cover it, and it would be great entertainment. But the guy walks behind the bench, and you should have done this, during a game, and he told the owner he's going to quit on the team. He left the team a week before training camp, as you guys just mentioned. Do you want that kind of uncertainty floating around, or whatever you want to call that? I don't know.
I think he's a volatile guy. Yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like anyway. Right. The irony of him taking the job, imagine he sat behind the bench, like what comes around goes around. Carey Price gets up and goes over to him and whispers, I'm out, never playing again. It's Patrick Waugh that's got the Scrabble face on.
Yeah, sitting there behind the bench and like...
30 years later, like, what the hell is going on here?
Wouldn't that be the way that Carey should exit Montreal eventually?
It would be great.
Just like sidestep right Patrick Waugh on the bench and go up to Jeff Molson and say, I'm done, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm out of here. Yeah. I'm never playing for you again. Gets shelled, gives up 9 at the Bell Center.
I mean, on paper, it would be a great hire because Patrick Waugh is a good hockey mind. We all know what he was as a goaltender, but there's a lot of questions. And maybe Jeff Gorton is a guy that just wants to hang around in the background and go, listen, I'm like, can you imagine if you are not privy to that market and stepping in and going, hold on a second here, I'm an English speaking guy just trying to help the organization. I haven't experienced the parameters of what I'm dealing with as far as hockey being a religion in that city. Like, he might want somebody who's so schooled in it, who's dealt with it for many years. Patrick might be his guy, just, you know, hey, I've dealt with this for 20 years. I know how to do this type of thing.
Well, I don't think Patrick Waugh would get swallowed up by the market. I think if I'm Gorton, my fear would be, and this is Brian Hayes being in his shoes, and maybe I'm lacking in confidence or self-esteem in a position like this. My fear would be Waugh would come in and say, hey, I'm here now. I'm talking. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Yeah, okay, Jeff. You know, like, that would be my concern.
Take a seat.
Okay, Jeff. Like, that is the general manager. Jeff Gorton is the general manager.
Exactly, and that's my point, is I don't picture Patrick Waugh doing what he's told necessarily all the time. You know, and maybe that's not what you want. If it's the GM, assistant GM, you want someone that'll push back, someone that will be willing to speak their mind, and I don't doubt that Patrick Waugh would. I don't doubt that he's got a great hockey mind. I would be concerned if I was Jeff Gorton, a guy who's not familiar in the market, a guy who doesn't know the market, a guy that has no history in the market, but has the job of being the architect of turning this team around, bringing in a figure like that who's larger than life.
Yep.
You know, Patrick Waugh is larger than life in Montreal. And you're right, in terms of the content, in terms of the intrigue, it would be spectacular. You know,
the pressers would be
amazing. It'd be outstanding.
Can you imagine, you know, you get a beat writer who's been there for 50 years and, you know, and he starts chirping Waugh, and Waugh goes, you know, I'm Patrick Waugh. Like, it'd be the Kevin Lowe. Do you remember Kevin Lowe at Edmonton when the media was challenging him? He's like, I've won six cups. I know what I'm doing. And, like, I could see Patrick, like, pushing back in that,
being
too.
Being abrasive,
like,
yeah.
Being abrasive because you get, you know, if you're talking quite a bit, and I don't know how much the manager would talk, but I could see Patrick being kind of front and center and handling the media, and you get a few guys that don't like the direction, you get a few guys that are pushing back on him, be interesting to see how
and
he would
coming,
react.
And that's coming, man. That would sure be coming. Is. And you know, the media, they're going to speak their mind. They're going to say what they're going to say. The fan base is going to say what they're going to say.
Yeah.
And I don't get the impression like there's a timeline on this, you know, to announce whoever the next GM is going to be, that it's got to be in the next couple of days, couple of weeks. You know, I would think Jeff Gorton will get in there, get set up, and start interviewing people. There is a prerequisite. They have to be bilingual. I would assume that also means, you know, you've got to be from Quebec in some capacity.
What about you can speak both languages, Hayes, and you're the best fit for the position? Like, stop. That's the only thing it should be when you're trying to turn a hockey team around. You got to speak, to the fans of the fan base, but be the best person for the job. Is that hard? Like, Jesus.
No, but the thing is it limits that spectrum because, you know, let's say Barry Trotz becomes available out of nowhere and the coach, you know, he's the best coach available. Can't hire him because you've painted yourself into a corner. Same thing. You know, who's a great GM? Who's English? You know, right now.
Well, like, let's say Lou Lamoriello throughout his career.
Kyle Dubas. Like, you know, anyway, Lou Lamoriello decides, hey, I'm going to go I'm going to try put my hat in the ring for anything. You think Lou Lamoriello, like, they would be like, sorry, we can't do it because of
the
situation.
Well, that's why they've circumvented the rule, that self-inflicted rule with Jeff Gorton.
Right.
Saying you're senior VP, you go stand over there, you're not going to say anything. If you do interview, you know, if you do say anything, you'll speak a couple times a year, and there will have to be a translator there clearly, which is also something that is very doable. You know, it may not be perfect, but I don't know. I understand it. Like, I'm not from Montreal. I'm not from Quebec. I'm not French. You know, I'm not a French Canadian. But I do, like, needless to say, but I understand from afar the significance of the position, the significance of the team, the history of the team, and, you know, the importance of communication. And it's not ideal. It's the most exclusive job in pro sports, in North American pro sports. Like, nowhere else does this happen. Nowhere else would it even be considered, you know, acceptable in many ways. You know, if you outwardly said, we're only going to get someone who's from Toronto, you know, or we're only going to – the only person who can run the Boston Red Sox is someone who's from New England, you know, or from Boston. That would probably gain some backlash. Like, why are you so parochial? Why are you so defensive of what else is out there? But this is clearly very different because of the nature of the language.
Correct.
You know, it's so exclusive. The other 31 teams in the league, they speak exclusively English for the most part. And in Montreal and in Quebec, you're dealing with a different language.
Yeah.
And the predominant language. So, you know, I get it. I understand it. I understand the sensitivity of it all. I think Jeff Molson clearly gets it, and that's why he's decided that this is something that's got to happen. But I think all you got to do is keep hammering home the fact that Jeff Gorton is the guy that's making the call.
Agreed.
You know, so Gorton is the one that's making the call. The GM's going to go out there and speak on it, but they'll have a voice, they'll have a vote. But make no mistake, if this works out in the end, it's Jeff Gorton, the guy that did it. You know, or if it fails, it's Jeff Gorton, the reason it failed.
Right. Like,
regardless of what language you're speaking.
And Gorton's going to be the puppet master. Whoever's out in front of the curtain is going to be the guy who's echoing what they've decided in the room. But
exactly.
Gorton's going to have the last say. I have no problem with it. And I thought it was interesting. Jeff Molson said, if I had to do a do-over, I would have added more resources for Bergevin. He had a small management team. Like, nowadays, you look at the management teams of most organizations, it's several voices. It's not just one or two. And I believe in that. Like, you know, you should have, and not the same voice. How many times, I'll bring it back to, like, Edmonton. You had all the boys in the bus there. Mm-hmm. It was Kevin Lowe and Craig McTavish and Kelly Buckberg. All of those guys were on the same page. Like, to me, you need differing voices, people that can challenge the room and go, hold on a second here, let's think outside the box. Like,
right.
Let's look at – and that's what most management teams, the successful ones, need is differing opinions in the room so that you can challenge each other. And, you know, I see successful organizations running like that. Even Tampa, there's a lot of real smart people behind Julian Brisebois down there. I know a few of them, and they're not front and center, but guaranteed there are some spirited debates behind.
Well,
behind
and
scenes.
Also, like when you're talking about the draft, which is going to be at the forefront of any organization's success, right. Jeff Gordon's not going to see every single junior player play around the world. Like it's right. not going to happen. Whoever the GM is, you know, it's not going to happen. You have to rely on your scouts. Your scouts are going to go out there, gather the information, and relay it to you. Now you will have a say in who you end up taking. Specifically in the first round or two. But by the time you get to the seventh round, let's say you have two picks in the seventh round, Jeff Gordon, Brendan Shanahan, Steve yeah. Eisman, these guys aren't sitting here saying, no, I think we should take the kid from the Czech Republic I haven't seen play before. You right. know, like you have to rely on it. And if it hits, it hits. The guy at the top gets the credit for it. Or, furthermore, the guy at the top gets just slayed if the drafting is horrible, when in reality you have to rely on your people. You got to right. rely on your scouting staff. You've got to rely on the information that falls on your desk.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And I mean, it doesn't help that they make those moves yesterday and Vancouver goes in there and beats them last night. So, you know, Montreal just continues to plummet.
That Montreal team. I don't know what, like Luke Richardson, I love him. I played with him. He must be disgusted going through tape of that team in their own zone. It was ridiculous what I was watching Montreal do in their own zone.
Well, and you and I were texting
against Vancouver.
These are capable. Like there are some capable players.
Stanley Cup final last year, and I just see these guys backhand passes up the boards to nobody, slot wide open. I was actually shocked how brutal they were in their own zone last night. I couldn't believe it.
Jeff Petrie, like it's almost like he's forgotten how to play hockey. I swear to God.
Yeah. I actually feel bad for the guy because I feel like there's something seriously wrong with him. He looks like he has no energy, low energy Jeb Bush out there with no give a bleep meter. And it's like, what happened to you? It's like he's a shell of what he was a year ago.
But that's like he's a hell of a player. But like I thought the stat going in is he hadn't had a point in 12 games. Like that's a guy who is a point producer. He's a 40-point defenseman in his sleep. It's not just one. Like there's six of those guys where you're like, that guy's
that's
really
the astonishing thing about all the tire fires going on in Canada right now is each team, how many guys are not playing well. Like it's real. It's almost difficult to, like if you had went into the locker room before the season and said, picked out 12 or 13 guys and say all you guys at the same time won't be playing well. It's actually hard to do. Like it's mind-boggling to watch.
It's crazy. And I mean, I didn't see who had on their bingo card Matt Murray in the minors. Like 15 games into the season.
Is crazy. Like the NHL is just on steroids right now. Like
it is. The storylines they're not just subtle. Like these are explosive.
Yeah.
Explosive storylines.
You've got and COVID is lurking. We were texting about that earlier. It's popping up with different teams. You've got, Jake DeBrusk isn't a household name, I wouldn't say, but he's demanded out, and Boston, they're going to try to accommodate that, but they're low on players, so they need him to play. Like they're
I like
tonight.
That kid, well, DeBrusk. I like him.
I liked him a couple of years ago. He's really clearly faded, though. Something's gone wrong.
He is clearly faded, but I think he's one of those kids, like an Alexander Steen, that on his second team, he kind of found his mojo in St. Louis. I just think that he's a good kid. And you know the dad. I think if he goes somewhere else and gets a fresh start, and he's got to own a lot of it, all of it, because he's the one going out there and not performing up to his capabilities. But I believe that kid could go somewhere else and be a major factor.
I agree. There's another thing, too, that factored into this. You're not playing ahead of Brad Marchand, okay, and Taylor Hallsign there.
Right.
Like, you're not, like, so the left side, the best you can do if everyone's playing somewhat close to their capabilities is third line wing. Nick Ritchie, they weren't even sniffing signing him because they at least wanted to give runway to DeBrusk. Now you're going to move past DeBrusk and bring somebody in. But like that left side is they're strong. Like Marchand is as good as anybody, and
right.
and Hall's a guy who signed
he's
a value
struggling
contract,
right now, but he's a good player. You
he's
know
a good
he's
player.
Got.
You're right, but like I agree. I think DeBrusk will be a really nice find on a new team, depending on the price point that that new team pays for him, because you know they're not going to get him for free. They're going to have to give up a good player or a good prospect for him.
Well, we'll come back and get more into that. Brad Marchand spoke today about his suspension, about what he had to say to Artemi Panarin that led to Panarin throwing his glove and freaking out. We'll get into that audio. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. Moving ahead into a new week in the NFL, CFL playoffs this weekend as well. Tiger Woods speaking to the media this morning. We'll play some audio, get into that. And confirm or deny, we're moving it up. Cannot confirm or deny that we're going to get to that next.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Boston trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
Well, I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, I can confirm. The confirm and deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease a 2022 RX350 premium package from just $268 biweekly for 40 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. So moving some things around here. Usually we play confirm or deny a little bit later in the afternoon, but we're shifting things around. That's allowed. We can do whatever we want. We can confirm that ourselves. We're all big boys here. So we know the way this works. A statement is made. We go around the table. We either confirm it or we deny it. Very simple. Let's kickstart this party off. Confirm or deny. All three of the Canucks, Canadians, and Senators will finish bottom five in the NHL standings.
I'm going to deny that. I think the Canucks can climb out. For whatever reason, their goaltender's got to get like white hot.
He was good last night. Yeah.
White hot. And he has got to go on a heater. Pettersson showed signs of life. I just think the players in Vancouver, they can get it together and get out of it. So I'm going to deny that all three of them are in the bottom five.
I'm denying it too, but I can't tell you the team that's going to dig it out. It could be Vancouver. It could be Montreal. It could be Ottawa in the second half that was really good last year. But, you know, all three of them, it doesn't look promising, but I am going to deny it.
Yeah, right now it certainly
right
doesn't.
Now.
I'm going to deny it as well, though, because I think as much as we focus on the Canadian teams and the bad Canadian teams, and there's a lot to focus on there, we shouldn't lose sight of how many other awful teams there are in the league. Arizona is going to finish in the bottom five. I think, again, Buffalo is going to come back to life here. I think they're going to drop. I think they'll be in the bottom five by the end of the year. And then you're talking Seattle, Chicago. I don't think the Islanders are going to stay there, but it'll be close. You know, I think all three are going to be in the bottom seven, but I think one of them will sneak out, likely Vancouver to your point. I just think Vancouver's got better high-end players and a very good goalie. Price could return, of course, and when he does, if he gets hot, Carey Price is clearly capable of doing that. But I think Demko, being young, he's if he goes on a run, they pick up a few wins over the course of 10, 15 games that maybe they weren't expected to. That might pass Seattle, Chicago, Buffalo, whatever. So I will confirm it as well. Moving on here, confirm or deny, the Maple Leafs should be interested in trading for Jake DeBrusk.
I'll confirm it.
Go ahead, confirm
it. You look at what their left side is. You could always have an upgrade, obviously, depending on anything. But you know what it's like, Hazy. Like it's...
What are you gonna
Everything is investigated, man. Like every option, it's not like you're just like, nah, then maybe not that guy. You're looking at every player and whether it makes sense, whether it can work, do you like – but I'm going to confirm that they would be obviously interested because everything that goes across anybody's desk in the NHL, they're interested. Confirm.
I say confirm because I think he'd be their best left winger if they acquired him.
I think he's got the potential to be. He's got to be – you know, a lot better than he has been the last year and
a half.
Well,
I mean, Mikheyev, we don't know what he is. Gets a lot of breakaways, doesn't score. Kerfoot's
been pretty good.
He slides back, though, I think, but Bunting and Richie and Engvall.
Oh, it's a great opportunity for DeBrusk. Yeah, this is exactly what he should want.
But what do you pay for him? Boston's not going, hey, well, give us a, you know, seventh. I know Joe from the Bridge has created some sort of ridiculous trade for him.
He's probably got bored of it. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes
but
up.
But it's not a chance that you're going to get DeBrusque for pennies on the dollar.
That is the interesting scenario. It's like the player asked to be moved, and there is potential there. It hasn't been good for him. So what does that equate the price to be?
That's the question. I don't think it's as high as you think it is. You know, I mean, we have these conversations all the time. Well, what are you going to pay for this guy? What are you going to pay for that guy? And I think we always embellish what the price will be in the end. Like, Jake DeBrusque has never been a star. He's not a star in the league. He's got potential to be a good player, and he's young. So there's potential there, but that's what you're acquiring is potential, right? You're not acquiring a guy where you can reference a 35 goal season.
Well, but he had 27 in 68 games 3 years ago as a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. Like I think he's a pretty good player. Like I'm telling you, I'm not lying. He would be the best left winger on the Leafs if you acquired him tomorrow. Like, and he would fit in either way.
So, Noodles, come up with a scenario. You've been in the meetings. Yep. What did you call Boston? What is the price?
I off the Leafs. I have no idea.
No, I mean anybody. If it's like, what is it?
Some of the
is it a first?
Well, I don't know what the marketplace is. I have no idea what the marketplace is right now. 20 games into the season, some teams haven't even played 20 games. And this is a guy. Did you watch Don Sweeney's presser today? They have zero players available to them. Their minor league team is shut down.
Yep.
He's like, I have zero players to call up because Providence is in a full lockdown. I don't know if you're seeing this throughout the AHL. There are teams getting canceled
right, all
through because the minor league teams are you know, COVID is running ruckshaw. So he's got to play. And you know, that's a situation like you can drive your marketplace up.
And now Marchand's out. Play him if you really want to play him. Give him a
Absolutely.
Chance to play.
And Sweeney said that. He goes, he's got to be a pro, and he's got to play well so that other teams would be interested and know what they're getting.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, I think there would be a marketplace, and the asking price, I don't know what it is, but there's, what I'm reading from the insiders, there's like eight teams that are interested in kicking tires on him.
Right.
He's 25 years old.
Yeah, I will confirm this as well. You know, the Leafs, they've given up a lot of assets, you know, over the years. I think they need to be careful. The thing is with DeBrusque, you're bringing him in here and you'd have control over him for a while.
Right.
It's not a one-off. You know, it's a guy that you would think, and of all the places in the league, if I'm a left winger in this league, a young guy that wants to prove myself, the Leafs would be the number one team on my list.
Sure.
Because of what you've detailed here, Noodles. You're fighting it out with Richie and Mikheyev and Kerfoot and Clifford. Like, you got a chance to step in and play with Matthews and Marner 20 minutes
right.
a night. You're not getting that anywhere else in the league.
And just for clarification, that's no slight on the guys that are there. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. What I'm saying is that I believe DeBrusque would be an upgrade in that position to help those players out. It doesn't mean that Michael Bunting's not playing fantastic.
No, it goes without saying, Jamie. Kerfoot, you don't have to explain that.
No, I know, but
player,
I don't need a bunch of
players.
Lunatics writing to me going, you know, this. Look at this. Like, I just what I'm saying is I believe Jake DeBrusque is a really good player. And if you're asking if would he be a fit for the Toronto Maple Leafs, absolutely, because that was a position of question marks heading into the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Nowhere else. I mean, yeah, goaltending settling in. I mean, Mrazek, what's happening with their backup? You know, Justin Hull and Muzzin didn't have the best start, but, I mean, their D have stabilized. We know what their forwards are, especially on the right side and down the middle of the ice. The left side was a question mark. That's all. That's all.
Yeah,
I'm saying.
And I think Kerfoot's going to stay on the left side. I think he's more effective on the left side. I think he gives you the ability to play up the middle. But Kampf has been actually a very pleasant surprise. I mean, I didn't know enough about him. You look at his stats. He had one goal a year ago. He's played well. I think they like him there. You know, maybe you want Spezza playing the right side as opposed to up the middle come the end of the season or the playoffs, and you address that. But I mean, DeBrusque, he's loaded with potential. It's just, you know, it depends on the price. I don't think the Leafs can get crazy with the price. I think it's more likely a team that's on the up and up acquires him, you know, and is thinking, okay, what could he be for us a year from now, two, three, and be willing to pay more based on what they think he could be.
Like, you would have to think Detroit would be hot and heavy.
Right, exactly.
Well,
Detroit's
Detroit,
a perfect
Ottawa,
example.
Ottawa's an example. There's teams that can afford him. Here's the other thing. I think he makes 3.6, and he's an RFA. So if he goes to a new team, has a little bit of success, that's your qualifier. Like, so now you're starting at 3-6.
That puts
so
the
it's
Leafs
be
in a bad spot.
Right, so yeah. Where are you financially? Because he's now at Kerfoot money. That's what he is right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think
right
he
now he is,
that.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, exactly. All right, confirm or deny, we had this conversation yesterday. Evgeny Malkin will leave Pittsburgh after this season.
Ooh.
UFA at the end of the year.
I'm going to confirm that. I think he'll want to mix it up. Maybe a little Los Angeles or down to FLA, where the Russians love to put on their Versace flip-flops and roam around the beach.
You know what? I thought about that. I'll confirm it. Here's why. I think he might do the – I don't think anybody's doing the Paul Kariya, Timo Solani thing, sign for $1 million on a contender. Didn't they do that in Colorado years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, both of them signed right. the same deal, I think, yep.
But it might be a scenario where Gino goes, I'm 35, coming 36, and will I take a one-year deal to go to a team to play second, third-line center, you know, on a team that has a chance to push forward? Him being maybe one of the missing pieces, add a little depth. Like kind of like what Thornton was thinking last year, like, hey, I can go up and down the lineup. Now, I think Gino has more gas in the tank because Thornton was older, but that's a scenario where...
A lot depends on the money and stuff. Like if he goes to Pitt and says, you know what, Ovi was 36, and what did Ovi sign? A five-year extension at 10 sheets a year?
Yeah. But
it
I mean, Ovi.
I don't remember the term, but it was at least.
Like if Malkin goes and says that, not everybody's going to want to do that, regardless of his track record, regardless of who he is, the cups, being Gino Malkin in Pitt. Not everybody wants to keep that around, man. Everything comes to an end sooner or later.
Yeah.
I'm going to deny it because I think there's so much else. There's so much, you know, money coming off the books, not including Malkin. We detailed that yesterday. There's a lot of guys right. that are coming up.
10 guys, yeah.
And I think, you know, you let all of them go and you keep the two centerpiece guys. You know, like Sid and Gino are the two guys who've been there for 15 years, two faces of the organization, both numbers getting retired. You work out a deal to make sure that they both stick around. And then if you kind of retool on the fly, you retool with those two guys. I would say it's 50-50, maybe 51-49. I wouldn't be shocked if he's going to leave. But I would think he'd be comfortable there. I think he'd want to stay. It's all he knows. And I think if he's still got something left in the tank, and we'll see when he comes back from this surgery, that would be something Pittsburgh should probably be intrigued by. Confirm or deny, the Bills should be favored against the Patriots on Monday night. They deserve to be the favorite in that game. Confirm or deny?
Deny.
Aren't the Pats really good.
The best team in the NFL right now, the hottest team?
Hottest team. Defensively, the best team in the league for sure. They have been dummying teams defensively. Like, it's pretty gross, the numbers they're putting up right now.
I don't know. I mean, as much as you want the Bills, and I think the Pats are, like, serious, and Belichick is pissed. You can tell he's digging in this year.
Yep.
I'm going with Coco and Bills Mafia. I think that they've had a bit of a twisty-turvy kind of mid part of the season here, but I still think that they're going to be a dominant team, and I think they're going to win that game as well.
I'm thinking the same thing. I don't love hearing that considering it's your pick, and whoever happens to be riding, you know, beside you, whether it's Al's brother or whoever. I like the Bills. I think they should be favored. I think they're at home. They're coming off a long week. They played last Thursday. They ran into a bump in the road. It was a bad one. You know, they got smoked by Indianapolis. You lose at Jacksonville, that's terrible. I still think they have the makings of a very good team. I think it's a bigger game for them because of the history of these two teams. Orchard Park is going to be going nuts. You talk about a tailgate that's going to last 48 hours, 72 hours. That building will be rocking. I like the Bills. I think they should be favored. I think they deserve to be favored than they are right now. Confirm or deny, Brad Marchand will be remembered as a pest first, great player second when he retires.
Deny. Too good a player, man. This guy's a Hall of Fame player. Like, he's 100-point guy. One of the best left wingers in the game. He's amazing to watch. I don't think so. I'm denying that. They're not going to say, oh, look at this guy. He's a pest. I'm not anyway. I'm going to think of the great plays. Well, he does this stupid stuff, and he comes up like a – it's a matter of time before he's going to do something stupid. That's just part of him. But I'm going to think of the great plays.
I'm – denying it as well, but I should agree with it because of the social media narrative. There's a lot of idiots on Twitter that want this guy thrown out of the league and all of that, and they get noisy. Like, it's a noisy situation. So to me, I think I will remember him as a great player, but there's how many times when you punch up Brad Marchand, is it always a dirty play by him? It's not a great play by
him.
That's, right?
And listen, he was the one that did them. Like, let's not pretend like someone forced him into doing it. That's why I'm confirming this 100%. I don't think it's even close. I mean, it's we're talking about the majority of people, right? Or the court of public opinion here, where of course individual right. jurors like yourselves will say great player, but this is a guy who slew foots. This is a guy who licks people. This is a guy who the punching Sedin in the head. Yeah, I mean that's what he is. Like, he's also a great player. He's a spectacular talent. He's a lock for Team Canada, as he should be. He's going to win cups. Going to win gold medals. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he went to the Hall of Fame. But I think the majority of people, myself included, when I will think of Marchand first, I'll think, man, did he get in people's kitchen? Man, did people hate him? Man, did he do stupid things? Like, he did. Right. This guy's done some things in his career.
So
like,
what? You used to have a casino in your dorm room in your college.
I don't. Last time I checked, this guy's suspended right now.
What?
Last time I checked, he's suspended right now. I'm not running the casino anymore.
No, but you ran a heater this weekend, and you're talking about it.
You could argue that.
I'm just saying, like, nobody's going to say, oh, yeah, that guy was the bum, the guy that ate pizza in his dorm room and had a casino. Like, they're going to remember you as a great broadcaster.
I have changed, though. I'm not running a casino anymore. Brad Marchand is literally suspended right now for slew-footing a guy. He literally was telling Artemi Panarin, you're hated in your home country.
Which is, I think it's brilliant. I think it's so funny.
Okay.
Like, I know the
I
political
look at it,
aspect.
I actually look at that differently, and we'll get into that at 5. We'll get into it with Johnny. We'll hear what Marchand had to say about this earlier today, because he was talking, he spoke with the media, and he was talking about his reputation. And he's like, look at my numbers. Look how good of a player I am. And he tried to reason with the NHL, like, you shouldn't be suspending me anymore because I have changed my game. Right. But, slew foot is a slew foot. That was a bad slew foot.
I agree.
It was a terrible one. That's a three-game suspension.
You know who should be sitting right beside him? PK Subban.
Well, that I agree with. And Marchand basically, I think, indirectly tried to bring that up today.
Yeah.
But, it's okay, we'll come back.
Yeah,
we'll listen
back
to Marchand. We'll get into it, because I do think there's a lot of depth here with the Panarin chirps and what he had to say today. We'll get into that more with Johnny in about 15, 20 minutes.
Quick break, and I'll also discuss a new venture I have going come springtime.
Okay, ooh. I'm intrigued. You've absolutely piqued my interest with that comment. Confirm or deny, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease aid. A 2022 RX350 premium package from just $268 biweekly for 40 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. So, details on the O-Dog, what he's got planned in the spring. Mike Johnson coming up in about 20 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Mike Johnson in about 10 minutes. We'll get into the Tiger Woods presser from earlier this morning as well. A couple of comments in there that bit heroic from Eldrick, but what do you got going here? Everyone wants to know what is your big plan.
Well, you guys just going to be idiots about it, because whenever I come up with something new, you guys are just
100% support.
Nope, I'm supporting you. Whatever you, I'm behind you. Whatever you need, buddy.
Springtime, I'm getting into rock climbing.
That's good. I think it's great.
Can I rescind my support?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm concerned. I don't. No, but like, are you just gonna
here we go.
Rock climbing in a gym? You're not going to a mountain and gonna try and climb up. You're
I live
kill
in
yourself.
Collingwood. There's lots of mountainous there's just it's gonna get. Not, I got no, some
dude,
gear.
Are you
coming
talking?
In.
Are you talking like cliff hanging? Like a cliff or a mountain? Like,
remember
dude,
Stallone
rock
in that movie?
Climbing.
Wasn't it cliffhanger?
Yeah,
was it
cliffhanger.
Stallone?
Sick.
Yeah,
cliffhanger though is like. You're putting your life on the line. Like,
dude, I'm not going to be cliffhanger Stallone. Let's not get stupid
I
with this.
See
it's
you.
It's going to be obviously at a beginner level.
I want to see you in the harness.
That's what I want to see you in a harness. I want to see him in a harness.
The harness between, like, because it's got to go between your legs, and that's, you are going to have a situation going on. It's going to be tight. You know, the backside. I want to see you in the harness.
This is what I knew was going to happen.
That was the image I had. When you said mountain climbing, I pictured you on a cliff, like in Venezuela or something. And, you know, that's hardcore stuff, man. Like, that's, I don't know how people do
that. Well, obviously, it will take some time to get to Venezuela on a cliff.
No. So explain to me mountain climbing. Like, what does that mean? Like,
it's just rock climbing, side of cliffs, rocks and stuff. Like, I don't know what else.
Muscle shirt, headband, shorts on, harness, and you're going to be, like, climbing and looking, you know, not even, like, you have special shoes, like, with grips on them, and you put on. But you're going to have to be inside a gym. I don't want to hear about you, like, on
I've got Gabba buddies in Collingwood that do it. They're safe. They know what's going on. It'll be fine.
Okay. Well, listen, outdoors.
Fully support you.
This is what I don't get, though. You have to take a cart exclusively to golf, but now you're going to be going up and down mountains and stuff, or could you start walking when you
what does that have to do with the golf cart, though? I don't get. What do you think? I'm going to take a cart to the mountain?
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying there's an inconsistency here. Yeah, like, because I like going up a mountain is tough. Now, when I did Tough Mudder, I had to run up the mountain 3 times, and it's tough, man. It's a great workout, though. Okay.
This is not anything. This is called rock climbing. This is what it is. It's not.
All right.
I want to see it. Can I witness it, or can we, like, can we watch?
You
can
do whatever you want. Film?
All right. I like this idea. I like this it. We'll great. Get. Let's delve more into it and get more details.
All
right, coming up, Mike Johnson and more on rock climbing. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
You two shut your mouth immediately.
This hour of the Overdrive podcast was brought to you by Felix. Erectile dysfunction treatment online. Felix can connect you to a doctor to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.